All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of the Psalms, and specifically Psalm 103. Psalm 103. The verse I want to preach on tonight is a familiar verse, and I have preached on it before, and I want to preach on it again. Change a few things, add a few things, use a few things I used before, but I think it'll be different enough for you. And I preached it a long time ago when I preached it here. I preached it in July of 96. How many of you were here in July of 96? All right, some of you were. All right, good. A lot of you were. Good. All right, well, hopefully you won't remember. Should I change the title? Should change the title, shouldn't I? All right, look at verse 14. It's a familiar verse. It says here, "For he knoweth our frame." Who's he? God, yeah, God. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. I want to speak to you tonight on what God remembers that we forget. God remembers that we are dust. We don't remember that about one another, do we? All right, let's pray real quick. Father, I pray your blessings on us tonight. I just ask you to help me as I speak, and then help our folks as they listen. And Father, I pray the Word of God will make a difference in how we live our lives. Help us to see the little truth that is here tonight. And just give us all ears to hear. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. All right, I want to speak to you tonight on a message that I've entitled, "What God Remembers That We Forget." What does God remember? Well, God remembers that we are dust. We don't remember that, but God remembers that. If we see somebody do something, or we hear them say something, or we are told that somebody said something or did something, we never forget it, do we? Especially if it was something bad. We never forget it. We forget that our brother or our sister is just a pile of dust. We forget that. Do you remember, let me just give you some Bible examples of this. There's a guy in our Bible, and he is one of the major characters in our Bible. You will know him immediately when I tell you about him. He wrote the first five books of the Bible. All right, does that give you a clue as to who I'm going to talk about here? All right, Moses, yeah. Moses. Now, can I give you a little scuttle on Moses? Can I tell you a little something? I don't know if I ought to be telling this in church, but I'm going to tell it anyway. You know he killed a guy one time? Yeah, he did. Did you hear what I said? He killed a guy. And you know, it wasn't even in self-defense. He killed him dead. Killed him dead. Are you listening? And you want to know what else he did? They got out in the desert after he got them all out of Egypt. They got out in the desert, and he got mad, and he hit a rock when God told him to speak to it. And he got mad, and in anger, he hit the rock and did the exact opposite of what God wanted him to do. And then that caused all kinds of trouble, because God got upset when he disobeyed him. And that caused all kinds of problems. And yet, this guy called himself the leader of the children of Israel. Now you think about that for just a minute. You know, he killed a guy, and then he loses his temper out in the desert and does the opposite of what God told him to do. But then when the man died, God said to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead." Do you know why? Because God remembers what we forget. You see, we would have never gotten over. We would have never gotten over the fact that Moses killed that Egyptian. We would have never been able to deal with that, would we? But God remembers what we forget. Let me give you another example. There's another guy in the Bible. His name's David. Remember him? Just so happens that David, boy, you talk about a mess. You remember what he did? He committed adultery. Remember that? But it gets worse. After he committed adultery, he tried to cover it up. And the way he tried to cover it up was by having the woman with whom he committed adultery have her husband killed. And he did. He did. And then he had her killed so he could bring her in to be his wife. But wait a minute. He was already married when he did all this. Are you with me? I tell you, it's amazing, isn't it? He was already married when he did all this. And yet, the most amazing thing God said when David died, God said that David was a man after God's own heart. Now, how do you explain that? Well, the only way I know to explain it is that God remembered that David was just dust. God remembered what we would have forgotten. Here's one I'm amazed with. Here's one. There's another guy back in the book of Genesis. His name is Lot. This one just amazes me, to be honest with you. And he was given a choice to live wherever he wanted to live. And you remember where he chose to live? He chose to live in Sodom. I mean, of all places, a city that was just plagued by sin. And the thing of it is, it didn't bother him. It didn't appear that it bothered him at all. As a matter of fact, he became a city council member in the city of Sodom. Joined right in with the crowd. These three angels came to warn him and to get him out of town. And these perverts came to abuse the angels. That's what they were doing, perverts. And they were coming to abuse the angels, to have their way with the angels. And Lot told him, "Look, you guys get out of here." He said, I've got two daughters. Take them. Are you kidding me? Lot? Man, somebody ought to have whooped him. I mean, with a belt. Just seriously let him have it. And there's Lot right in the middle of that whole mess. But wait a second. It doesn't end there. After the judgment, after the fire fell, Lot escaped, and his wife turned around and looked back to Sodom, where her heart was. And God turned her into a pillar of salt, and only Lot and his two daughters escaped. And then, you remember what happened? He got drunk. And then had relations with those two girls. That's incest. That's wicked. And two heathen nations were born of that incest. And I mean, we could talk about this guy forever. Just absolutely talk about him forever. But then you get over into 2 Peter 2 in the New Testament. And when Peter was making a reference to Lot, he called him just Lot. Not like just Lot as if it was just Lot. No, justified Lot. A just man. What? He was a just man? It's what God said. Well, preacher, how in the world could God say that a man like Lot was a just man? Because God remembers what we forget. Hard to fathom, is it not? I mean, we would have assassinated him, wouldn't we? We would have assassinated him right there on the spot. We would never look at him again. But God remembered what we forget. And if you're Lot, let me just say, you're thankful that God is like he is. If you are Lot, oh, let me just stop right here. And we all are. If you're a Lot, you're thankful that God is like he is. Let me give you another one. Do you remember when the Lord Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane? And the soldiers came. And Peter reached over and pulled out a sword. And he proceeded to try to divide Malchus, one of the servants of the high priest, into two equal parts. You know what he was trying to do? Kill him. Peter tried to kill him. That's pretty bad, wouldn't you think? Let me tell you what else this rascal did. When Jesus was arrested and on trial at the house of Caiaphas, they built a fire out in the courtyard, and they were all gathered around the fire, warming themselves by the fire, and somebody recognized Peter as being one of our Lord's disciples and accused him of being a disciple, and Peter started denying and cursing, denying that he said, I don't even know that man. I don't even know him, and cursed while he did it. But wait a minute. You know what else he did? Oh, you're not going to believe this. A month and a half later, after he tried to kill Malchus, and after he stood in the courtyard and cussed about the Lord Jesus, a month and a half later, on the day of Pentecost, Peter stood up at the temple and he preached a sermon. Can you believe it? Boy, you talk about a hypocrite. You talk up, boy, what? Aren't y'all shocked? You don't look shocked to me. I would think you should be shocked. He tried to kill a guy and then cut. I wonder if all those people at the temple that day knew their preacher was a cusser. I wonder if they knew that. I wonder if anybody knew it. You say, well, I just don't believe it. Well, he did. And you know what happened? 3,000 people got saved when that cussing preacher gave his sermon. Isn't that amazing? I wonder if they knew that their preacher cussed his head off the night Christ was arrested. You say, well, Pastor, I just can't believe God would bless him. But folks, God remembers what we forget. And God remembers that we are dust. Hey, folks, I want to serve notice on you. The only type of preacher God has to use is dust. Amen. That's all he's got. That's the only kind that stands in this pulpit, just dust. That's the only kind that sits on this platform, preachers that are just dust. God, if God so chooses to use a preacher, he has to use one who is dust. Now, brethren, you hear me, and you hear me tonight, good. I'm not endorsing sin. I hate sin. I'm against sin. I preach against sin. I am certainly not condoning Moses or Abraham or David or Lot or Peter or Solomon or anybody else that I could give you as an example of the sin they committed. But I'll tell you what I am not, I'm not condemning. I'll tell you what I am condemning. I am condemning the dust being critical of other creatures of dust. That's what I'm criticizing. That's what I'm condemning. That's what I'm preaching on. I am certainly not endorsing anybody's sin. But what I'm simply saying to you is we have no right to be critical of others when we are dust just like the ones we've got our finger pointed at and are criticizing. We're dust just like them. You remember John 8. Turn over there real quick. Hold your place here, but go over to John chapter 8 for just a minute. Let me read you. Keep your place here, but let me have you go over to John chapter 8. I'll start, you catch up. Verse 1, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery, in the very act. Question, how did they know? Now, they were probably the ones that were committing adultery with her. In the very act, verse 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and he said, and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now look at that verse 7. He who is without sin. You see, folks, how quick we are to take our sharp, venomous tongues and just lash out against someone who has revealed to us what they are. They're dust. Dust that will one day turn back into dust. And so Jesus said, if you are without sin, go ahead. Go ahead and cast the stone. And nobody could. You know what I think happened here? I think when they made their accusations, the Lord Jesus knelt down, smoothed off a spot on the ground, and started writing the Ten Commandments. I think he got down to a few commandments and then stood back up and said, He who is without sin, he's got the first few down there on the ground, and then he kneels back down and he writes, Thou shalt not commit adultery. And then he looks back over his shoulder, they're all gone. Stands back up and says, Ma'am, where are your accusers? She looks around, she says, Well, sir, I have none. Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more. That's what I think happened here. Go and sin no more. And let me tell you something, folks. If you'll understand this little truth, if you will understand, I can assure you that God can use this principle to change your outlook and your viewpoint of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Bitterness could be gone tonight if you'll just learn this little truth. Hatred for others would vaporize. Gossip would just vanish and clear itself from our church. Our attitude towards others could be just dramatically transformed if we would understand this simple little truth. Now, what is it? The truth is, for he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. What God remembers that we forget. Folks, if you will learn this, you'll never have your confidence shaken again. I have talked to folks and I've said, look, you've come to church here for years. Why don't you join the church? And they said, well, you know, Pastor, 35 years ago, I was a member of a church and I got hurt. You got hurt, yeah. Well, what happened? Well, and they tell me, you know, the pastor said this or the pastor did that and they got hurt. The pastor left. You know, the church folks voted the pastor out. I mean, you name it. It can happen. And so they said, I've had them say to me, and I just vowed, I will never join another church as long as I live. And so far, so good. And folks, listen, you cannot have your confidence shaken if you will learn that this little principle. Now, look here. I'll just use Pastor Rick because he's sitting here. I'll just use him. And everybody over there went, phew. All right. You know, listen, folks, the best of men, and I think that's one of the best sitting right there. The best of men are only men at their best. Do you know he's a sinner? Quiet, Carol. Did you know he's a sinner? Oh, yes. He is a sinner. I mean, pure and simple. He is a sinner. He has feet of clay. Preachers are just dust. Rick Holbrook is just dust. But you know, here's what the devil wants to do. Here's what he tries to do. He tries to get you to forget that Pastor Holbrook is just dust. He tries to get you to forget that Pastor Josh is just dust. He tries to get you to forget that Pastor Campbell is just dust. And right on down the line, I could go until we end up right here. He tries his best. The devil tries his best to get you to forget that I am just dust. That's his main goal for this church. And when you see our feet of clay, and when we show you that we are just dust, what happens is you get hurt, you get offended, you get mad, you quit being faithful, you quit working, you quit tithing. And when that happens, folks, you are doing exactly what the devil wants you to do, not what God wants you to do. I have literally had people stick their finger in my face and say, I'll show you. And I say, you'll show me what? Well, you can't run my life. I'm not trying to run anybody's life. Well, I'll hold my tithe. Yeah, that'll show me. Show me what? That God can provide without your tithe? That's what it'll show me. It's not about me, folks. It's not about you. It's about realizing we're just all dust. I'm dust. You're dust. I mean, we're just doing what the devil wants us to do and we don't realize it. I've had folks say, well, but that's it. My confidence is shot. I'm never going to join another church. I'll never trust another preacher as long as I live. But folks, listen, that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. But here's what God wants you to do. God wants you to remember that your brother is dust. God wants you to remember that your sister is just dust. You take all of us and melt us down, we're not worth but about $3.50. And that's about all the chemicals you got in you that's worth anything. Unless you've had a couple stents that are made of gold or some teeth that are made of gold, that's about all you're worth. Not worth much, are we? You know why? Because we're dust. We're just dust. And what do? We take a vacuum cleaner and we suck up all the dust and then we throw it away. We take a broom and we sweep up all the dust and then we throw it away. Why? It's not worth anything. And God said the same thing about it. He remembers that we are just dust. You say, well, Pastor, what do I do? Well, here, I got a novel idea. Put your confidence in God. He'll never let you down. You'll never see his feet of clay. He doesn't have any. Don't put your confidence in a pastor or in a church or in a preacher or in a set of creeds or doctrines. You say, well, Pastor, don't you have confidence in anybody? No. After 40 years? No. Well, doesn't it shock? Nope. I don't get shocked anymore. I'm serious. I don't. I just don't. I'm disappointed, but I never get shocked anymore. I learned years ago, don't put your confidence in men. I tell Glenn Matthews all the time, I say, there's my hero. And he'll go, don't make me your hero. Make your hero dead people. They won't let you down. They won't disappoint you. And I said, well, you're 80-some years old. He said, but I'm still breathing. That's good sound advice right there. I love every one of these guys on this platform, but let me tell you something, folks. I know every one of them is just dust. Every one of them, they're just dust. And they're going to do some things that prove to me and to you that they're just dust. They're not perfect. And if my confidence is in the Lord, when they do something that shows that they're just dust, it doesn't knock the socks off of me. It doesn't keep me from doing what I need to do. When I see that they're just dust, that doesn't knock me down. That just makes me realize they're just dust, just exactly like God said they were. Go over to Philippians for just a minute. Philippians. Let me see, what chapter do I want? I want 4. Look at chapter 4. All right, let's all read this verse. Okay, this is an awesome verse, and let's just all read it out loud. You ready? But 19, verse 19, 4:19. Did I tell you what verse? Oh, come on, I did. Verse 19, all right, ready? I'm just dust, see? And I just showed you. All right, here we go, verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Look at your Bible again. Look at it. But the pastor shall supply it. No. But my wife shall... No. But Pastor Holbrook... No. Who supplies all your need? God does. And so what happens is we look to others, we look to dust to supply our needs. And then we're disappointed because the persons that we're looking to supply our needs, they're just dust. And they are not capable of supplying our needs. They can't do it, but God can. God can. So you'll never have your confidence shaken if you'll learn this little truth. Second thing, if you learn this little truth, number two, you'll never criticize again. You say, criticize what? Anything. You'll never criticize again. I've had folks say, can you believe he did that? Well, sure, he's just dust. Sure, I believe it, he's dust. Can you believe she said that? Yeah, I believe it, she's just dust. She just showed what she is. And you know, truth be told, if we'd all be honest, we've said just as bad, if not worse. Oh, got quiet there, didn't it? Huh? I did not say, let's pray. Everybody lift your head, look up here. Everybody went down right there. Oh, pastor said pray. No, he didn't. No, he didn't say let's pray. Folks, listen, there is nothing. Now, please listen to me. I wish, oh my goodness. I hear it. Oh, I hear it. And it just grieves my heart. It grieves my heart. There is nothing that is as cancerous as creatures of dust sitting around criticizing creatures of dust. Did y'all get that? But there's also nothing as ridiculous. It's ridiculous for creatures of dust to be sitting around criticizing creatures of dust. You say, Pastor, why is it ridiculous? It's ridiculous because we are that which we're criticizing. We have ourselves probably either done to the same degree of intensity, or we wish we had done it. That's why. And all you accomplish when you criticize and when you tear down and when you do that, all you do is you just reveal to everybody in the room what you are. You're dust. That's all you do. And there's a lot of folks missing out on some tremendous joys and fruit because you just want to sit around, gripe and complain and gossip and criticize. And the simple truth of the matter is, you're not a bad person, you just have a bad memory. You remember, God remembers that we're just dust, but we don't. We have a bad memory. So you're not a bad person. Please don't go out of here and say, Pastor got on me tonight, said I'm a bad person. No, I just said you had a bad memory. That's all I said. Because you do. You have forgotten what God always remembers. One more verse. Go over to Matthew 7 for just a minute. Matthew 7. Is everybody, y'all all right? Everybody all right? Nobody's mad at me, are you? Don't get mad at me. Trying to help you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm trying to help you. Oh, I like these verses. These are so neat. This is just so awesome. Look at it. Verse 1, Matthew 7. The Lord Jesus is speaking here. Look at what he says. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Now, can I give this a little 2017 brush? All right. Why are you concerned about the speck, the little piece of sawdust? Just that little speck of sawdust. Why are you concerned about that little tiny speck of sawdust that is in your brother's eye when you have a 2x4 hanging out of your eye? You see, that's what he's saying. He said, why beholdest thou the mote? That's the speck. That's the little piece of sawdust. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam, the 2x4 that's hanging out of your eye? I mean, can you imagine you go over to your brother, you got a 2x4 hanging out your eye, you walk over to your brother and say, brother, let me get that speck out of your eye. You're beating him to death with the 2x4 that's hanging out of your eye. He says, gee, thanks for helping me. And he's got to go home and get bandaged up because you beat the tar out of him with the 2x4 hanging out of your own eye. So you don't want to be sitting around looking for a speck in your brother's eye when you've got a 2x4 hanging out of yours. And he says, verse 5, look at it, verse 5, thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote from thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy to the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So what's the point? The point is we've all got something in our eye. We're all sinners. All right? So you'll never criticize again if you remember that we're all just dust. When the kids were little, they had a bunch of books, a bunch of Dr. Seuss books, and they had the nursery rhymes and all the fairy tales and all that stuff. And every night before bed, I would take them upstairs and read to them and pray with them before they went to bed each night. And I had never really paid attention to the nursery rhymes. Did you ever pay attention to those things? I mean, some of them are just, I mean, they're out there, some of them, but some of them are life lessons. They're just amazing. And here's one that is just absolutely a life lesson. It's an amazing truth. All right, you know it. You know it. All right, here it goes. You ready? Deep theology here. You ready? Pussycat, pussycat, where have you been? Remember it? And what's the answer? I've been to London to see the Queen. Pussycat, pussycat, what did you there? I spied a little mouse under her chair. Man, that's deep. Isn't that awesome? You say, well, Pastor, what's so deep about that? Well, think about it. Think about it. Here's the Queen of England. Here's the stateroom. I mean, mercy. There's the chair she's sitting on the throne. She's all decked out in her royal garb. The guards are all there. They're all standing at attention. They got them big goofy-looking hats on. And the cat sees a rat. Do you know why? Because he's looking for a rat. Cats eat rats. He saw what he was looking for. That's the point. The cat saw what he was looking for. And folks, I submit to you that that's exactly what we do every time we come to the house of God. We see what we're looking for. You come in here looking for feet of clay, you're going to spot it, because that's all we got up here. You come in here looking for dust, you're going to find dust. You know why? Because that's all that worships in here. We're just dust. That's all we are. We don't have anything else to offer. So let's stop looking at one another through the lens that we're looking, and let's start looking at one another the way God looks at us. And God remembers that we're just dust. When God looks at us, He just remembers that we're dust. It will change. It will revolutionize the way you think and the way you worship if you'll just put this into practice in your life. Amen. Praise the Lord. He remembers that we are just dust. I'm glad He does.